The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
A pleasant Wednesday to you from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Hallis Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman, pleased to be joined for the entire hour by Bears cornerback Isaiah Fry. It's Packer Week. What more needs to be said, right, Tom?
Right. I mean, that it's a good introduction, but are you a corner? Because you know what? When you're a nickelback, you play at a linebacker depth, you play inside the slot, you play at a corner level, you're a little bit of everything. So how do you describe yourself?
Yeah, you know, you're kind of like a rover almost. You know, you're doing a whole bunch of different things, kind of like a safety would do. You're covering the slot, you know.
Kind of like a safety would do. You mean, that's a first, you know, it's, but you are, you're a jack of all trades. And so I think, I mean, I'm just kind of jumping in that you slight a guy when he's a nickelback now because he plays so often, third play of the game you're in. And you're everywhere.
Yeah. I was looking at the roster. It said CB next to your name. I guess I should start calling you defensive back because you have so many different roles and special teams as well. I mean, there are a lot of different things that you do for the Bears. And, you know, one of the things that I think has led to the Bears being 2-1, Isaiah, is the fact that there have been multiple players who've been forced to contribute because of injuries. You're one of those players that's been thrown out there. What's that been like? Because there's been so much turnover over the first three games for the Bears.
You know, I think it's a good test for the young guys, most definitely, you know, because, you know, we had Brock in there, you know, and he hasn't taken a rep at all at safety at all. And he came in there and played great for us. You see him in the 49er game, came in there, played nickel for us.
And who was the guy teaching him how to play? This is not a joke, Tom. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but being down on the sidelines, you were inactive for that game because you're on the practice squad, yet you were as busy as I've ever seen you on a Bears sideline because everyone went down in that game, and he was forced to have to play nickel, and you're the guy who did it last year, so you were teaching him on the sideline, right?
Yeah. You know, we had 7 minutes to teach him the whole position. Credit to him, man. He did a good job learning, and he learned it a lot faster than any of us did, and he went in there and played great for us. And, you know, that's all Brock, man. Brock's a smart guy. You know, he's able to do that for us.
It's weird because you use the term force, but for some guys it's good fortune because – and you have to understand how I'm saying it because the fortune or the opportunity to play is usually forced upon you because someone's injured in front of you. But that's the fortune that you've been preparing your whole life for in every opportunity. So it's a weird way to go through life because you're playing with your best friends and you don't want anybody to have any injuries. But if you're forced in, it's because of preparation and all that.
Both of you are terrific examples of that. Last year, you don't even get on the field if Kelvin Hayden doesn't get hurt, right?
Yep. That's right.
He got hurt, and then all of a sudden you were forced in there. What was that like? So I'm sure you could relate a little bit to what Brock had to go through in that game.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a surprise. You know, you go into training camp thinking, you know, you're competing for a roster spot on the team, and then the next thing you know, you're starting game one of the season. So I think that just goes back to coming in at practice every day and treating it like a game and being ready to go because, you know, you never know what's going to happen, really. You know, there can be some times where one of our outside guys goes down, you know, I have to get on the outside and play that too. So I think in the meet rooms, you just got to know what everybody on the field is doing.
I don't know if you know this, but that's how Tom got his start with the Bears, right?
Right, by someone being injured, and then they say, hey, you're up. Because that's why I was saying it's a weird thing to talk about because that's what you prepare your whole life for when you work your way up through the stages.
But you never know when that chance
is
going to come.
Exactly. But it is about being prepared full time. And because of you don't know when the instance, you don't know what position you're really going to be playing. That's the same thing with an offensive lineman. You don't know what position you're going to go in. And it's about that moment of opportunity. Are you prepared? And that's what's going to decide your fate long term in the NFL. So
definitely, you know, you always got to be ready to go. And when you get in there, man, you got to take advantage of it. You know, you might not get another opportunity like that.
We're visiting with defensive back Isaiah Fry here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Score with Wendy's and the Chicago Bears. Pick up a scratch and win card at participating Wendy's restaurants. You could win Chicago Bears tickets, Chicago Bears gear, or discounts on Wendy's food. Quantities are limited. Play today while scratch and win cards last. Now, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride for you since the end of last season because you fight to make the roster, then you get put on the practice squad. Was it tough to, from a pride standpoint, to have to endure that to get back to where you are right now?
Not necessarily because, you know, for the most part for me, I had got hurt, and that was one of the main reasons why I was in the position I was in. I wasn't able to go out there and compete like I wanted to. You know, quite frankly, we had a lot of other guys on the team who were playing well at the time, too, and they were doing a great job. So, you know, and all in all, they deserved to make a team just as much as I did. So, you know, I got put on practice squad for a couple of weeks, man, and I got healthy. And, you know, not luckily, it just happened that I got back on the field and, you know, was able to come in and play again.
Play again because you're prepared. You know, I remember standing there the day that you tweaked your hamstring out of training camp, and you think of all the effort that goes into the offseason, because I was talking about it early today. The commitment to professional football, the season is fun, the games are a reward. Everything you do in the offseason to make sure that your body's prepared, what it has to go through during the season, and then you have that element of surprise by an injury. But then you got to stay mentally confident that you know you belong, that you have to recover. Because when the opportunity presented itself, it wasn't good. Hey, we're going to give you a tryout. Man, you got to be ready.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you always got to be ready. Injuries is part of the game. You know, at some point in everybody's career, they're going to be hurt. And it's about just being as tough as possible, mentally tough. And if you can get through that, man, you'll be okay.
All right, good. That's good advice. Know more about the injuries.
What did you learn while you were out from Tim Jennings, watching him play the position?
You know, I actually learned that, you know, he's a hard worker. He was actually trying to learn the position because he had never played nickel before. So, you know, I seen how Coach Hoke was coaching him, man, and he took to it quick. He was able to get it down quick, and he was getting better every week.
It's amazing the morph for the defensive backfield here, because when we first got to training camp, Tim Jennings wasn't playing, so Kyle Fuller was starting at the cornerback position with Charles and the way everything was figuring itself out. But then you think the benefits of the safeties rotating every position, all the DBs rotating throughout the time they had, the benefits it's paying right now. Because all these guys, whatever experience they got, they're able to capitalize on it under live conditions.
Hey, it's been a young man's game for the Bears so far on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get the scouting report from Isaiah Fry next on some of these young guys who continue to ascend on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're pleased to be joined by nickelback slash defensive back slash special teamer, jack of all trades, Isaiah Fry here, the second year man here for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, the thing that has stood out to me over the first three games is the young guys, the second-year players and the rookies being able to go out there and make significant contributions in big moments. You take a look at the last two drives that the Bears have had. They've needed the defense to step up against San Francisco, against the Jets, to get to this point and be 2-1. When you look at those last drives, as a defensive player, as you're watching all this stuff happen, what's going through your mind?
You're going out there, first and foremost, you know, you're going through your assignment, making sure you know what you're doing in every play. Next thing you're thinking of trying to make a play for your team. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, in the 2 minute, man, there's a lot of people who are trying to do their jobs as well as they can. So that's probably the best opportunity you can make a play for your team. So if you go out there, you know, get a pick, force a fumble, game's over. And I think that if you have that mindset going in and out there, then, you know, you're going to be okay.
Last game, Jonathan Bostic, ball hits him in the hands. You have an opportunity to close the game, and then he starts doing push-ups right there on the field because he knew.
Yeah.
Do you get worried a little bit when that happens? Because those opportunities may not come again.
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, sometimes we get some easy ones that we let slip through our hands. But I know next time he gets the opportunity, he's going to definitely make the play.
How is the huddle? Who's talking? Is there more than one guy chattering, or is it just the guy calling the huddle and then go from there?
It's Lance. Lance is the only one talking. He's the one that makes the calls, the close calls and all that. He's the one we listen to.
You know what's neat about this team is you see the plays that Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton make. You see the plays that Stephen Pye was making the games. Then you see a guy like Willie Young, who's had so much early season success and having the opportunity to capitalize on the talent of Jared Allen. through talking to him at practice and being able to insert his intelligence to Willie Young. Because Willie Young, you're saying about the young players. I consider him young in terms of a Chicago Bear. And then you see how he's been able to excel. It is because of great veteran leadership. Because you see Will Sonego Ferguson, it's because of Jeremiah Ratliff that's been teaching and helping these guys, and Stephen Paya, and the defensive backs with Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings in the gang. So, I mean, it's an awesome experience to have that veteran leadership to teach the young guys.
Yeah, you know, especially our position, we're very fortunate to have guys like Charles and Tim and Ryan. You know, those guys have been in the league for a long time, and they know their, you know, they know the craft, and they're always helping us trying to get better. You know, Peanut, he's always trying to show us how he does his peanut punch, but, you know, nobody else seems to know how to do it.
Hey, Kyle Fuller said that it helped him.
It does. You know, it just listen to him.
You got one on the sideline from, was it the tight end?
Yeah, it was tight end. Yeah,
you got one, and it was close.
Yeah, yeah. He tells us how to do it, man. It works, you know, but, you know, no one's ever going to compare to how he does it. But
wait,
know.
Can you tell us the secret? I mean, don't. Or do you not want to give it away because other people are listening?
Not going to give it away.
But it's not that easy to do.
No.
He makes it sound like it's so easy. You just kind of ball up your fist and punch the ball out. But it's not that easy.
It's very difficult. I think you have to have the best eye-hand coordination in the world to do it.
You have to be able to anticipate the game coming at you.
Exactly.
Because one time I asked Charles about a fumble that he got from a Philadelphia tight end. He said that he saw the catch in the air and he knew how the body motion of the tight end was going to be as he was going to try to control it.
Yeah.
And he anticipated that. So it is, you know, you see a million reps in your life because of the position you play. You got to take something from everything, and those instances play in your head.
Yeah, you're right. There's one play I can remember in my head my rookie year that he had. I think it was the Tennessee game. The guy caught it on like a little drag route, and his back was towards Charles, and he turned around with the ball in his outside hand. Charles stripped it, and I don't know how he seen it from there. And that was kind of like, you know, that he seen that happen before it occurred.
Right.
But there's some people where you watch it, and I'm not going to mention names, but some guys who try to punch it out, and then they end up going for a ride.
Yeah.
You know, the ball carrier takes them with him, and that's not fun.
Yeah, at all.
Well, I think that's Charles's greatness, is that he can tackle and still try to get the football out of, you know, out of the grip.
Yeah.
We're talking with Isaiah Fry. I think I called you a second-year, your third-year defensive back, Isaiah Fry, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So one of the things that people may not know, you went to school with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I did. For 3 years.
And he looks like him. We talked about this once. I said, do you ever get mistaken for anybody? And you said, if anybody, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. I think that's what you told me.
Someone had mentioned it on the set.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually try to stray away from it. But, yeah, I get
so
that
you
all
wear
time.
You wear the headphones and you have the, what, I'm the man? You start listening to that
off
the bus?
Yeah, I don't do that. That's Cap's world. I try to stay away from it.
How much of an influence did you have on the scouting report for the Bears leading into that game against Kaepernick and the 49ers?
You know, not too much. You know, I told the guys outside of the meeting rooms how he plays and, you know, what he likes to do. But for the most part, his game now from college is kind of different. You know, back in college, he had a longer release. I think, you know, he got that corrected. He's able to get the ball out a little quicker now. You know, he's able to read defenses a lot better than he did in college because, you know, college, they made it kind of simple for him. And now in the NFL game, he's under Harbaugh and all that, so he's learning that.
The second interception that Kyle Fuller had, when he has a long windup still because he's going away from his windup, and it kind of seems that Kyle or defensive backs get that snippet of a hint because his look seems so long.
Yeah.
And that one specifically because he kind of showed it because he was going to his left.
Yeah, you know, that was our thing in college when we were playing against him, you know, in practice. It was, you know, we were able to anticipate his throws because he was able to he kind of winds up like a base. You know, he's a baseball player,
right.
So he kind of winds up a little bit. But you know, he still has a little bit, but he's gotten a lot better since college, definitely.
Yeah, and he's got good. You know, Jim Harbaugh, I think, has been a good influence on him too.
Yeah.
The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. They ran the pistol when you were at Nevada. Are you surprised that people have been so fooled by it at certain points at the NFL level?
I am, you know, because there were games in college where we got stopped by it. You know, it didn't always work. And now you see it in the NFL and it's working consistently. So
why?
I'm not sure. I think it has something to do with better receivers. I think when, in college, people manned us up. You know, they're able to play on the outside with no help over the top. But you can't do that at this level at all. You know, there's too many good receivers.
I think with the quarterback, there's a lot of the stories told in his retreat from under center. As to that, that's an indicator of what the play is going to be. But I think when you see a pistol run by Aaron Rodgers that never has to move his feet and is so dangerous, either the handoff or getting it to the outside, he's running a pistol and never moves his feet and never gives an indication of deception by the way he retreats. So,
hey, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, let's preview the Packers coming up next, because there is a lot to talk about with the Bears and Packers meeting at Soldier Field. Huge game for both teams. This is Bears All Access with Isaiah Fry and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, and Furniture from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Hallis Hall. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is along. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by third-year defensive back Isaiah Fry here for Packer Week. Bears, Packers, Soldier Field. But to understand what this means, I think for you, you got to go back to how it ended last year, because that's a difficult loss, I think, to bounce back from.
Yeah, you know, that was definitely difficult. Just the magnitude of the game and how it happened, you know, it's definitely going to leave a sour taste in our mouth for a long time. Still, you know, that's kind of still there lingering. But, you know, we got to come back and play a great game, man, and try to, you know, redeem ourselves from last year.
Yeah, I can't talk about the past anymore, because I think that you want an updated version of this rivalry. Right now, the Bears should be have the confidence going in that they're the better football team. And as they prepare for it, they have to take everything they've already lived through this season, the pluses and the minuses, and have everything focused towards an organized game plan against the Packers, not only against Aaron Rodgers, but the Green Bay Packers. And I think that's the way you have to go about it, because you're not playing one. You have to win every phase of the football game in order to beat the team.
What'd you learn about the Packers last year from being on the – because we always hear everyone from Mel Tucker, who called Aaron Rodgers an elite quarterback, Eddie Lacy has struggled getting the running game going this year, but they face some very good defenses. When you look at them overall, it's not just the video. You have the personal experience of facing them. What stands out about the way they operate as an offense?
I know one thing. I know Aaron Rodgers is the catalyst of their whole offense. You know, we played in one game where he had got injured the first game, so they had Seneca Wallace playing. And then the second game, he played the whole game. And their whole offense expands when he's playing. He's kind of the, you know, the captain of the whole offense, man. He knows how to put people in positions to get his receivers in open spaces and things of that nature. So, you know, I know that he likes to, you know, make checks at the line quietly. He's not as animated as, you know, as a guy like Peyton Manning. But he does checks to get his, you know, his offense in the correct play, and you know, a lot of people don't notice that.
But, you know, I think one thing about the Bears team this year, they're faster 53 yards wide. I think they can play laterally a lot faster, and I think that can slow down a lot of offenses in the NFL. But, you know, it is a vertical attack when you play the Green Bay Packers trying to get these guys in space. But I think it's going to be more difficult for them to have, you know, just one type of success, because the Bears are faster up and down the line of scrimmage.
Back in the day, Brian Urlacher used to try to play head games with Aaron Rodgers. Have you noticed Lance trying to do that? Because you said Lance is the only guy that talks, so I'm sure he's yapping Aaron Rodgers' way when he's trying to make those checks.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely trying to do the same thing, man. It's a chess game at the end of the day, and he's, you know, we're making dummy calls and things of that, and you know, we gotta catch him, you know, sometimes slipping. You know, he's not going to get every play right. So if we can get him that one play where, you know, we can get him making a crucial mistake, man, we'll be all right.
I want to go back to something Tom said, Isaiah, because he mentioned that you guys should be able to take the field against this Green Bay team with a sense of confidence. Is it because you feel the personnel that you guys are putting on the field is better than last year, just because you're healthy, there are new guys in there? It does make an impact in your mentality when you take the field against that team.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a lot of new guys on this team that are playing great for us right now. And I think going into this game now, you know, we got to be confident, man. Even last year's game, if we look back at the last game, man, we played a good game, except, you know, on that last drive is, you know, we're able to stay with these guys and beat them. And I think we can beat them, you know, however we want to if we play a great game.
What is this team have a lot to – is there a lot of growth potential for this team? Because I think a guy like Jonathan Bostic is barely scratching the surface of how good he can be, and you have the young guys. But is the best of this defense coming at week 8, week 9, or when is this going to be something that's going to be a constant process throughout the season?
I think, like you said, man, every week is going to continue to get better. You see from week one to now week four, we're probably, you know, 10 times better than we were. And I think if we just, you know, keep improving, man, the sky's the limit for us.
Right. It seems like week one to last week is a big difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, why does it happen? It just seems like you get reps under your belt and you have an opportunity to evaluate your performance as all 11 on the field. They have the opportunity to get better too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a whole bunch of new guys who are still getting acclimated to the system, and I think, you know, just getting more reps in the game is allowing them to play faster.
Visiting with Isaiah Fry before the 189th all-time meeting between the Bears and Packers at Soldier Field, the oldest rivalry in the NFL. And the thing that stands out to me is if you become a Bear, you're taught that you have to hate the Packers and vice versa if you go up there. But are they the most hated team for you guys? Because it doesn't seem like you guys hate one another. I would submit, at least in my time doing this, it seems as though there's a greater hatred, if that's the right word.
A sports hatred.
Not a real life hatred, but just like a sports rivalry kind of. I think with the guys in Detroit, I think that may be a team that gets you guys your dander up, so to speak, because they operate a little bit differently than some of the other teams in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of a brute team, if that makes sense. They like to hit you in the mouth. Detroit does, and I think that just, you know, that creates tension between both of us. We gotta go and hit them right back in the mouth. And I think that's why we're always, you know, using that as a rivalry. As far as Green Bay, man, you see a lot of the older guys, they still hate them. You know, Lance, right. Charles, man, those guys hate them. But, you know, I see what you're saying. It's kind of not as much as, you know, as it used to be.
Hey, Tom hates them.
Oh, I do. But, you know, it seems like Green Bay, when you're quarterback-led, you have more of a pretty boy approach. When you're Detroit and it's Calvin Johnson in the defense, it's more of a tough guy, gruff, you know, the blue-collar image. And I think there is a difference when you're – you've been so great at quarterback in Green Bay since Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers back-to-back.
You know, for years it used to be the Bears' defense and how they would respond against the Packers' offense and vice versa. Now it seems that both teams are offensively oriented. Would that be fair to say?
Well, yeah. I think that both head coaches are offensive-oriented guys, and I think that's they're both quarterback-led teams. But, you know, they both have pretty darn good defenses, and you look at the star quality on each team, Lance Briggs and Clay Matthews Jr., and, you know, just the Jared Allen, the guys that are here against the guys that are there.
How weird is it going to be seeing Julius Peppers in green and gold?
That's going to be weird. I have a feeling he's going to try to play his best game of his life.
I would bring it. Yeah. I would bring the evil as an offensive lineman.
Man, yeah, so, you know, we definitely have to be ready for that.
It was funny. Mike McCarthy was on a conference call with the media here in Chicago today, and the name Julius Peppers was brought up, and he said, you know, he's a chatterbox, always talking, and then he paused. I'm kidding, obviously.
Oh, because I was shocked.
I was like, oh.
What was he like in the locker room with the younger guys?
He's quiet, man. That's Pep. He just goes about his business and then does what he has to do.
Coming up next, we're going to test Isaiah Fry's Bears knowledge against Tom Thayer's Bears knowledge in a segment we like to call Are You a Bears Authority? That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sunday's game against the Packers is brought to you by Cancer Treatment Centers of America. The first 40,000 fans entering Soldier Field will receive a Bears football magnet courtesy of Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman, pleased to be joined by third-year defensive back Isaiah Fry. And it is time to play Are You a Bears Authority? It's brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. I ask you guys a question. If you know the answer, hit the buzzer in front of you. Tom, you want to demonstrate? Just like that. And the buzzer that goes off first, that person gets to answer the question first. If you don't get it right, the other person at the table gets an opportunity to answer the question. All of the questions will be multiple choice except for one. Whoever has the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Tom, you're playing for Lane Litwin from Cicero.
Nice, Lane.
Yeah. So, and Isaiah, you're playing for Gina Sumbles from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ooh, and if you're listening, yeah, she's listening on ChicagoBears.com. And if you are listening right now and you want to sign up for a future game, go to ChicagoBears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. And like any real game, this gets competitive. So, guys, take a deep breath. As Aaron Rodgers would say, R-E-L-A-X.
Does the registering audience get to select me or the show's guest?
No, that's up to our executive producer, Greg Miller. Yeah, and it's a complicated, it's like the, you know, it's like figuring out a passer rating.
4-0.
It's so difficult to figure out, but he does it.
4-0?
No.
Are you really 4-0?
No way.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Question number one. Since the NFC North Division was formed 12 seasons ago, how many division titles have the Bears and Packers won combined? Here are the choices. 8, 9, 10, or 11?
11.
You are incorrect, Tom. Isaiah, take a guess.
I thought it was
8, 9, or 10?
9.
Incorrect. 10. The Bears have won 3 NFC North titles. The Packers have won 7. All right. Don't worry. 0-0.
Uh-oh.
We continue here. Question number two. It's a defensive battle. In which of the following categories, let me repeat the question. In which of the following categories does Jay Cutler not hold the Bears' all-time record in? Career passing yards, career passer rating, career pass completions, career touchdown passes.
Pass
Tom.
Completions?
Incorrect. So here are the choices. Career passing yards, Isaiah, career passer rating, or career touchdown passes?
Career passing rating.
Incorrect. Actually, Jay Cutler is the all-time passer rating leader for the Bears. It's career touchdown passes. See, and that's just because he hasn't been a Bear for as long as Sid Luckman was.
Right.
So Luckman is the all-time touchdown leader. But boy, Cutler's on his way. He's got 8 touchdown passes so far this season. I think he's tied with Peyton Manning for number 2 in the NFL behind Andrew Luck. What's he like? You do get to practice against the ones occasionally. What's Cutler like as a quarterback?
He's good, man. He's killing the game right now. You know, he's doing what he's supposed to do. And, you know, he's throwing to Alshon and Brandon. Those guys, almost impossible to cover. So, you know, and then we got Martellus
out
there.
Yeah, don't forget about Martellus because he takes it sensitively if you forget about him.
Yeah, I heard.
But Matt, too. You look at Matt's blocking ability, his catching ability, run screens, run downfield, to run a wide receiver type route as a running back, which is unusual. You know, and then Santonio here now, you got guys that have some great hands, either in traffic or individually.
It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, to have a surplus of weapons. And you mentioned Forte. He's kind of simmering. You know, the Bears have taken on some of the best rushing defenses in football over the first 3 weeks, and the next two opponents, they've struggled.
Well, I think it's unfair to judge the running game at the opponent's stadium when you play in San Francisco and in New York. And I think you got to take the first game out of it because you're not really in sync yet. But I do have high expectations for the running game this week because I think Jay will be in command of the line of scrimmage verbally, and it'll help the offensive line get off together.
That's Tom Thayer, who blocked for Walter Payton. He knows what it takes to push the football up the field.
Give me a winning answer.
0-0 is the score right now in this defensive battle. Question number three. Which one of the following schools did current Bears defensive line coach Paul Pasqualoni?
Syracuse.
Correct. You didn't even wait for the choices. There was another school, too.
Notre Dame plays Syracuse this weekend, by the way.
That's right. It's a huge matchup at MetLife Stadium. And not the biggest matchup this week, obviously. That occurred on Monday. But a huge matchup between Syracuse and Notre Dame.
Did you know Coach P was the head coach of Syracuse?
I didn't know he was the head. I knew he coached. I didn't know he was the head coach.
Yeah. What's interesting, you know, and we've talked to Lamar Houston about this, Jeremiah Ratliff, too. They say that because he's been a head coach and not just a position coach throughout his time, that it helps when you're watching video and you're trying to understand just exactly why you're doing certain things against an opposing offense, because he can give you that well-rounded explanation.
Yeah.
Is John Hoke, Chris Harris, are they like that?
Yeah, you know, they definitely are. They can give us an explanation of the whole defense. That's what Coach Hoke's known for. You know, we'll be in the meeting room. He'll tell us what the three and the nose is doing, and I think that's what makes us able to.
You should know that.
Yeah.
You should. Every defense that's called, you should know what every guy on the defense is doing.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, definitely as a nickel, because, you know, there's different run fits that you have to do that when the nose and the three technique are, you know, doing what they got to do. So, yeah.
You know, there was a time where Lovie Smith used to coach the Nickelbacks with the Bears by himself. That your first year, right? He was very much involved. And it shows you when a defensive-oriented head coach treats that position with that kind of importance. It's a big deal in today's NFL.
Yeah, you know, that's like the sixth man in basketball. You know, it's like a extended starter. So, you know, definitely got to take it very important.
All right, it's a 1-0 lead for Thayer over Fry. We go to question number 4. Bears defensive end Willie Young competed in 3 sports in high school in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Which of the following did he not compete in? The choices: football, track, basketball, baseball. Isaiah's hitting it, so I'm going to give Isaiah the opportunity. You hit the buzzer, but you got to slap it hard, Isaiah.
Oh, my bad.
But it's okay. You get the opportunity. Again, the choices: football, track, basketball, baseball. Which of the following did Willie Young not compete in during his high school career?
I'm going to say track.
Incorrect.
Baseball.
Correct. I can't imagine.
He was our guest a couple weeks ago.
He looks like a...
He does not look like a baseball player.
You don't think?
I don't think. How can he wear a batting helmet with that hair? Hmm? You know, that's my question.
Oh, what do you do in track? What events?
That I don't know. I'm not that sophisticated. It's a 2-0 lead for Thayer over Fry. By the way, what did you play when you... Because I don't think... If you're a football player, I think you're a good athlete. So you probably played other stuff, right?
Yeah, I did. I did basketball and I did track. I stopped playing baseball before I got to high school.
Okay, so football was your first love, though.
Yes, it was.
He's a football player, you're a good athlete or a lineman. What are you?
Yeah, but that's more of a size thing than anything, right?
I think it's a blessing.
2-0 lead for Thayer over Fry. He's going to have to be a fourth quarter player here to come back and win. Which of the following Bears players did not play his college ball in the state of Oregon? Brian De La Puente, Stephen Paya, Dante Rosario, Kyle Long. Isaiah, go ahead.
La Puente.
Yes, De La Puente. Cal.
Yeah?
Yeah. So how about that? Isaiah's back in the game. This is tight. 2-1. The lead for Thayer over Fry. Question number 6.
That's a fancy last name, isn't it?
Brian De La Puente?
Yeah.
He's been playing some fancy football, though.
He has. He's been a solid pro since he's been in the NFL.
And that's really helped. He's another one of those guys that, you know, just you don't know when a guy's going to go down. Roberto Garza goes down. Didn't get a lot of reps during the preseason. He was banged up, too.
Right. But opening week, they lose 2 out of 5 starting offensive linemen. Then they go on to win 2 away games. It's just, again, I keep giving credit to the assistant coaches on this staff because they've been doing an unbelievable job of having guys ready when they go in. Not after a series or something they come out, but when they go.
All right, we go to the East Coast now, the United States, for question number 6. They are leading Fry 2-1. Which of the following Bears players did not play his high school ball in the states of North Carolina or South Carolina? So essentially, which Bear did not play high school ball in the Carolinas? Here are the choices: Alshon Jeffrey, Jermon Bushrod, Tim Jennings, Terrell Manning. Isaiah.
Bushrod.
Correct. Yeah, Bushrod, Virginia.
I thought, where's Jennings? Georgia?
Yeah, but he's from South Carolina.
From South Carolina.
Yeah, I remember DJ Moore would always tell me that Tim Jennings was a tremendous athlete, not just a football player. He was a terrific track player. You could make a case that Tim Jennings is the fastest guy on the team, right?
Yeah, you know, definitely. We always have this argument every day.
I want to know. So what's the answer?
You know, we're never going to know because I don't think we're ever going to win a race. But, you know, it's Tim. Tim's thrown in there. Sherrick's definitely thrown in there. Actually, the person that might be the fastest on the team is Chris Williams.
Yeah.
He might be the fastest.
Chris Williams, the return man. He's on the practice squad. Now, what about the new guy that was returning kicks, Rashad Ross?
You know, he's fast, too. I haven't got to see him enough to know how fast he is, but I know he is fast, too. But
see, I think, Tom, we need to do one of these conditioning drills that, you know, because that's how you determine when someone's really fast. We should do it during the season.
You and I?
No, I can't compete with you. But I'm saying with the players, just to determine, line up who you think are the fastest Bears and let them go at it. It would be great competition.
You got to get in big insurance policy. I mean, if you're going to challenge professionals like that and how finely tuned they are, that's when, you know, if you do tweak something, that's why you don't have those casual races, because you try to get the best out of yourself when you're going against the guys you're closest to.
Yeah.
All right. You always have to bring reality into it. 2-2 is the score, Thayer and Fry. Question number 7. This is for the marbles. There is only one Bears player or coach that played his college ball at Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin.
Crow.
Incorrect, Tom. You want me to read the choices, Isaiah?
Coach Tucker.
Yes! How about that? Isaiah didn't even need the choice. Mel Tucker was a star defensive back at the University of Wisconsin, which brings me to another point. You know,
Can you read that question again?
There is only one Bears player or coach that played his college ball at Wisconsin. Who is he?
Is Gro on the practice squad?
Gro was not even one of the choices.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mel Tucker was the answer. Now, here's the thing about Mel Tucker that impresses me. For all the heat that he took last year, and there were a lot of guys that were banged up, and he was put in an unfortunate situation. This year, you know, you're seeing, as we talked earlier, about these young guys being able to make a push and make an impact. But he has spent the most time just watching the practices. Tucker has spent the most time this year with you guys in the secondary, has he not?
Yeah, he has. You know, he's always working with us. I think he because he used to play it, you know, he knows the position. He's showing us some little things that's going to help us in the game.
What's the biggest thing that you've learned from him without giving away the game plan?
Don't relax.
he shows us a lot that how to stay square in the slot. That's his biggest thing. And I think going through, for me personally, because I'm in the slot all the time, that helps a lot.
Want to thank the winner of this one, Gina Sumbles, courtesy of Isaiah Fry. She wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. When we come back, we will turn the page and find out some of Tom's best memories of the Bears-Packers rivalry next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak. The Bears coaching staff airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. We're visiting with Bears defensive back Isaiah Fry. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears Packers week. Tom, you went through one of those stages where the Bears were dominating the Packers in the 80s, the Forrest Gregg era. What was that like?
It was not easy. You know, we had a really very good win-loss record against the Packers at that time, but the games were all physical. No matter what the score was, there was really a lot of dislike. And with football being the ultimate retaliation game, you have a lot of memories if you have a chance to play them long enough, where you could get a guy back for 3 years ago, or he can try to get you back. And some of the, you know, either Walter getting dragged over the bench, out of the sidelines over the bench, Matsui getting hit 3 or 4 seconds at the conclusion of the play, all those kind of memories of really bad times come back. But you know, the thing about it is, back in the old Green Bay Stadium, is you used to walk from the locker room through the concourse where everybody was walking by, down through a tunnel that got you onto the field. So you had to walk through the crowds. And so as the team would go out, they would hold up these sections of chain link fence to give you a path to get through the crowd at the start. But if you were a kicker or your punter, you're going out there for your individual segments, you were walking through some guy holding the beer and stuff. And it was
like a high school game.
It was, but it was really weird, because if you transferred in and out more than once, you were walking through the crowd a couple times. But then when they put the chain link fences and the people, they competed to get up against the fence so they could either insult you or throw something on you or get you. That was, you know, that kind of really got the heat going of the rivalry.
How did the games, as far as back then? I know it's different. It was back then. How were the offenses different? You know, I know that they, you know, I would assume there was a lot more running.
You know, with us, it was Walter. Yeah. And we were going to face an 8-man front 100% of the time, because it was everybody's intent to take Walter out of the game and then see if McMahon or the quarterbacks could beat you. And that was the way of the NFL. And that was the same way that the teams that we are playing against, but they were going to go against the 85, 86, 87, 88 Bears defense that was unstoppable. And we would practice against them, give the demonstration squad, run on the opponent's offense, and Singletary would be calling the plays out before they ever snapped the ball, tell them the direction. Steve McMichael would stand up and go, "Hey, this guy's pulling over there, Ham." And it was just, those guys were so well schooled when they went from Buddy Ryan to Vince Tobin. They were super intelligent, but it was some of the programs at that time were a little archaic in the way they're going to try to go against the Bears defense.
Do you guys have that, Isaiah, where the veterans of this team kind of do what Tom just talked about, where Jared Allen might scream out something, or Lance, where they can anticipate what's happening just because of the years that they've spent playing in the NFL?
Yeah, I specifically see from Lance and Peanut. Lance can, you know, he'll call he can tell when a guard's about to pull just from the way he looks on the line. I don't know how he does it, but he's the only person that can do it. And Peanut, he knows how to see these little quick slant passes, like a bear pass, It was run, but it turns it. He's the only corner I know that can break on it fast enough and break it up. I've seen him do it like five or six times since I've been here.
Yeah, it's something to watch Lance's instincts, because Lance almost has to hold himself back, because as the, you know, statistically you learn what the offense is capable of doing from where they are on the field and the way they have their personnel distributed, and Lance recognizes it so quick, he almost has to hold himself back not to go and just make the play.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all about the team concept, because you have to trust your huddle call, and I that's a good thing about the team right now.
And yeah. Back to that matchup at Lambeau Field, I think one of the coolest things in all of football is that bus ride out of Lambeau after a victory. Now, you got to experience that last year, and prior to that, you got to see the other side of it. What's the differences as that bus is rolling out through the neighborhoods?
Yeah, because you're going through a neighborhood, and last year it was cool because, you know, everybody was, you know, kind of down and out, man. They weren't enjoying it at all. There were people walking with their heads down, and it was good to see from our standpoint. But the first year, it's kind of a party, man.
It's the only flight you can't work on nowadays with the iPads. That the flights are immediately working atmosphere because you're watching the tape. There, it's so quick that you sit there, eat your cheeseburger, and wait to land.
It's a lot like if you were on a bus on the way to Wrigley Field, just in the middle of a neighborhood with the entire north side rooting for one particular team. It's a unique NFL experience, nothing like it. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, more with Bears defensive back Isaiah Frye on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach Zaidman here with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, visiting with Isaiah Frye here, Packer Week. I want to go back to something that I think is very interesting, what Mark Trestman has been saying over the last couple of weeks, and I know he probably talks to you guys about this after the games in the locker room, but he's mentioned how the way you guys have beaten both San Francisco and the Jets, that's added to the backbone of your team. How so?
I think it's just because, you know, those two teams are tough teams, and I think, you know, by beating them, man, we showed how tough we are. You know, that's the kind of persona we want to have as a team, is being, you know, a rough, grinded-out team. And he always says it, 58-plus-2 game. And what he means by that is, you know, the game comes down to the last 2 minutes of the game. And I think, you know, by being mentally tough and physically tough, you know, we're able to go out there and win the game.
You know, you got to have something to kickstart you guys. In last week, watching the efforts of Brandon Marshall to get on the field, and that kind of dragged Alshon to get on the field with him, how much that does for the whole locker room? Because you have one of the elder statesmen of your football team in the leadership category, and you see how much desire he has to be on the football field. I think it was a trickle-up effect for you guys, even though you didn't really hear of those guys until the latter, or till, you know, throughout the game in different points, but it was neat seeing Brandon's desire and his want to be on the field in that game, and I think it helped.
Yeah, you know, it definitely makes you, you know, as their teammates, man, it makes you want to sacrifice your body for them and play as hard as possible. You know, Brandon, he's playing the game all through his mental toughness. You know, he's hurt. You know, he's hurt bad, and he's able to get through it and play effectively and actually still play great. So, you know, if we see those guys doing that, man, we want to go out there and play hard for them.
Right.
Then I saw him on Inside the NFL, and this is how versatile he is. You know he's playing in pain. He was sitting down on the set, though, this past week. He was not standing up the way he usually does on the set. But the most interesting thing he had to say, at one point they flashed Cam Newton's press conference from the other day. I don't know if you saw this, Tom. You know, I'm not a fashionista, but apparently Cam wore those Dwayne Wade Capri-style pants.
Right.
And then they flashed to Brandon, who's one of the more stylish guys in the Bears locker room, right? And he goes, that's a don't. Just don't do that. Who's the fashion policeman in the Bears locker room?
Oh, man, we have a whole bunch of them. There's a whole bunch of guys that are fashion police. I think Peanut's one. Peanut lets you know if you're wearing something bad or not. Lance definitely will. Those two guys, you know. Brandon, not so much. You know, he'll see something different and like it. So that was a surprise to hear him say that.
Martellus, that guy will
definitely Martellus.
He'll wear something.
Definitely Martellus. You know. He might be the ringleader, actually, now that I think about it.
Don't ever go to the offensive line room for fashion hints.
Oh, no.
You'll never get them.
No.
You'll see their sport coat tied up in a knot so it doesn't fall off the rack.
Jordan does have some fashion, though. Mills.
He does.
Yeah, Mills actually.
We'll have to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Thayer got upset. He stopped laughing. He was not pleased with that development. Then there's Cutler. I don't know how he does it. Guys, I've watched a lot of football players over the years. They come back to the sideline. They take off the helmet. This guy, one flick of the wrist, and the hair is perfect. He never has helmet hair. I don't know how he does it. It's one of those remarkable things.
Must be some good conditioner he has or something.
And also, you mentioned Lance Briggs. I don't think a lot of people know this, but after the win against the 49ers, you know, a lot was made about the opening of the double nickel smokehouse out there on the West Coast. He catered, right?
Yeah, he did. He brought a whole bunch of food for us at the hotel, and it was delicious, man. When I get back home, I'm going to go check it out. It was good.
See,
yeah.
You're not kidding, right?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm definitely going.
You know what? Other guys used to do that. When we used to play down in Tampa where Dennis McKinnon was from, his mom would make a huge home-cooked meal, and they would bring it and fill the galley, and everybody would contribute and eat his mom's home-cooked food on the way back from Tampa.
All right. Before we say goodbye, the three biggest keys defensively against what you're going to be facing Sunday against the Packers?
I would say first and foremost, everybody do their assignment. Second, tackle. And third, create turnovers.
Yeah, the Bears tied with the Patriots, number one in the NFL in takeaways, and second behind the Falcons with points off takeaways, which has been a huge key.
Right. You know, the turnovers are such a big thing, and I wanted to ask you, when you did you watch the tape? Have you had time to watch the tape?
Yeah.
How many interceptions do you think Kyle should have had?
I seen about three. He could have had about three.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You know what to me is amazing before we say goodbye is how he never loses sight of the guy he's supposed to defend, but yet somehow always has his eye on what the quarterback's about to do. That is a tough skill.
It is. And I asked him when he had that last pick. It looked like he kind of baited him to throw it. He said he didn't, but I think he just did it naturally.
I think he's got eyes in the back of his head. It's unbelievable how he does that.
It is. I think every position you have an innate ability to do something strong, and that's the reason why you're there.
Isaiah, thank you for spending time with us. Good luck against Green Bay. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by United, Verizon, and Xfinity.